This is tape number 1260/4, and it is the Bible for Today's sponsored Baptist Bible Seminary in our first year Greek class. It's the fourth class in the fall semester, the three semester hours. The date, Thursday, October the 4th, 1984. We go from lesson 5.5 through 6, pages 30 through 32, paragraphs 29 through 37. This is the teacher of the class, Dr. D.A. Waite, director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey.
Formally, shall we have a word of prayer as we open tonight? Dear Lord, we thank Thee for Thy grace, which is always sufficient for our need. We ask Thee for this class this evening, that Thou wouldst direct us. Help these students to remember the things that they need to learn and to know for the exams, for the tests. Help us with our next week's preparation. Guide us and direct us as we seek to live for Thee. Help us, Lord, to understand Thy counsels as we look into the language that Thou didst give Thy word in. Thank You for preserving that word and for keeping it right to the present time, that we may study it in this language of Greek. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's review then what's there for us for tonight. Let's see, is this mine? Yeah, it's mine again. Take a look at tonight's review for our quiz, and this is 4 through 5.5 lessons, and starting with 4, began with our present indicative active of Lego. Let's say that again to renew it, review it rather. Lego, leges, lege, legomen, legata, legusi. Infinitive legging. Is that correct? On page 25, we have that.
Yep. No, that's not for our quiz.
Well, that's not for a quiz.
No, we're on number 29. Angelos, and we'll do the declension.
Oh, that was the. All right, you're right. It's 5.5 to 6. Okay, I slipped one lesson back there in the place. Okay, so you're. On the exercise, it's basically 6 then. All right, it's Anthropos. In other words, it's vocabulary.
Right.
Now let's go over the vocabulary. The messenger or the angel is?
Angelos.
And the article with it is Angelos. All right, the man?
Anthropos.
Anthropos. The apostle?
Apostolos.
All right, and then of course the masculine, the teacher?
Didaskalos.
All right. The death?
Thanatos.
Not O, but Ha.
Ha.
Thanatos. Okay. The Lord?
Kurios.
Kurios. Kurios. All right. And then we had the declension with the article this time, did we not? All the way down for Anthropos. Ha. Anthropos.
Is that?
Right. Yes.
Angelos?
Angelos. So the GG gamma gamma is NG. For euphony, as it says in the bottom there, paragraph 30. See,
okay.
Gamma gamma, the first is like an NG.
Okay,
it's fine when it comes together. And pronounce it when it comes before kappa and gamma and he and xi. See, that first gamma is a xi, like an NG, and so on. Some words of the vocabulary are given occur 1,000 times in the New Testament. All right, let's go then to the review of Ho Anthropos with the article right on through. So we have it. Ho Anthropos, to Anthropou, to Anthropou, to Anthropo, to Anthropo, to Anthropo, to Anthropon, Anthropa. There, O Anthropa, but if you just want to say Anthropa, I guess.
What's the article on it?
Well, it would be Omega, yeah, with the
Omega
breathing,
with a
smooth breathing,
smooth
and a circumflex. Yeah, that technically is what it is, but you can eliminate that if you want. That's just
is
one
it
of those.
Used mentioned in the
I don't think it's used in the scripture. That's probably why they leave it out here, but somewhere along the line, I learned it maybe in classical Greek or. Just what, but the evocative article, I don't remember where I picked up, but you know, through the years, that is what the article is, but since they don't have it here, I'm not going to make any,
okay.
You don't have to learn it. And the article, the plural, is normally the same as the article
nominative plural, hoi, see, would be the same. Normally, that's the same vocative article, but since you leave it off, you can leave it off also. All right, let's go with the plural then. The men, hoi anthropoi, ton anthropon, ton anthropon, tois anthropois, tois anthropois, tois anthropois, tous anthropous, anthropoi, anthropoi. All right, let's go. Yeah, let's go through that singular again. Ha anthropos, tu anthropu, tu anthropu, to anthropo, to anthropo, to anthropo, ton anthropon, and then anthropet, anthropet. And plural? Hoi anthropoi, ton anthropon, ton anthropon, tois anthropois, tois anthropois, tois anthropois, tous anthropous, and anthropoi. All right, any questions on that one? That's all we had then, was it, for tonight? Plus the two exercises, that's fair. All right, get out your papers then if you would, and put your names on it. The date is the 4th of October, 1984. And, first, I'd like you to give us anthropos right on down, the singular and plural, the article plus the noun itself, and then the vocabulary. That's still the only two items then that we have, is that correct? We'll have more next week. All right, number one, word number one.
The declension for leave space.
Vocabulary, word number one is the Lord, or just Lord if you wish, without the article. They all are ha, masculine. Number two, the angel or messenger. Number three, teacher or the teacher. Number four, apostle or the apostle. Number five, death or the death. Number six, man or the man. All right, that takes care of vocabulary. Any questions on that? All right, go right ahead then. We're too late to turn on. Hort invented the whole so-called scheme of families and genealogies and relationships. That's nothing, there's no proofs at all on the fact that there are even such things as families. Bergson didn't agree with it. Even later, men, even today, don't speak of families anymore. But he had to get this family idea, because if it's family and genealogy, one's derived from the other, then he could take all these 562 and say, just one family, one vote. You see, and put them into families, the Alexandrian family, the Caesarean family, the Byzantine family, the Alexandrian family, and the neutral family. That doesn't have any taint of anything. Of course, Westcott and Hort believe the neutral family was B and L, which they worship. B A L, Baal worship, I call it. B and L. I saw that on my computer referring to the Custer, and I said B and L, B and L. Hey, Baal, that's good. That's how you spell it. So that is what it is. Not that it's the other Baal, but it's B and L. It ports in. So they worship those documents, and he was just simply taught that, and he believed that, and that is the trend of the day. You see, but it's all deductive. It's not an inductive process, laboriously inducing from all the particulars, of all the 5,255 manuscripts we have in our possession, what is this text, you know? It's merely saying, by deduction, these two are best because they're oldest, B and Aleph, and we'll see what that is, and then we'll just discount all the others. So what they do, they take a 10-15% of the evidence and they throw away the other 85-95% of the evidence, 5-15, and throw away 85-95, whatever the percentage is, and just throw out the evidence. They also don't pay any attention to the Church Fathers' quotations, which are very much a proof that the early documents they held in their hands, the early texts, read so-and-so. See, many times, now Bergen went to great lengths, 86,000 plus quotations from the church fathers when they quoted or alluded to Scripture. He has it right down and put it in an index. There are 16 folio volumes, huge, this wide and this thick, books, quotations, all colored in the British Museum. And available, if anyone would publish them, they'd be very valuable, but quotations of the early fathers from 100 A.D., 125, 150, see, 200. Early church, when they quoted Mark 16, 9 to 20, the last 12 verses of Mark, where did they get it?
They did quote it.
Oh, yes, you see. That's the point of Bergon's book, The Last 12 Verses of Mark, see, which we reprinted Bible for today. That is the thing that you ought to read and digest completely. That gives Bergon at its best. That's the inductive method at its best. Not just what the two old uncials say that have been corrupted and doctored and founded in Egypt, where there are no original manuscripts or documents ever directed. See, nobody ever wrote a letter to the first church in Egypt, Alexandria. See, there was no original to compare it with. So the heretics had complete hand, change and all, with nobody saying, hey, wait a minute, this is not right. Look at what the original letter said, see. They couldn't travel all up and down Asia Minor and Greece and other places where the originals were, or Assyria. And so they got away with murder. And of course, it was flourishing. Those are where the sources of these two documents were. B and Aleph are sourced, and that's why they're preserved, because, first of all, they were never used, because the early church didn't use them. Our supposition is because they were false, and they had all these doctored texts, and they represented a false text, so they didn't use them. They put them on the shelf. Second reason they're preserved is the Egyptian climate preserved them well. The others were thumbed to death, and the climates weren't conducive. Well, what they did, they copied them again. When the one wore out, they copied them again, and again, and again, and again. So Custer said, ah, your text of Receptus is just built upon documents which only date back to the 10th century A.D., you know, 900 and 800 and something like, oh, that's terrible. Late text, very late. I want to get right down to the B and Aleph to see the 4th century, 375. So I say, well, I want to go all the way back to the originals. Well, I want to go. But the point of it is, just because the point that the date of the tissue paper or parchment on which the documents are written does not mean that's the date of the text that represents, that underlies it, you see. These fellows copied from right down from the originals. But the church, realizing that that was the traditional text that they had had, and that was a text that it was they accepted as correct, the others being heretical texts, they copied and multiplied and multiplied these texts. And that's why you have a 5 to 10% of the corrupt stream of B and Aleph, and you have the 85 to 95% of the other streams there. But see, the church fathers definitely quoted. Bergon has, in fact, I think from 8 to 10 church fathers quoting Mark 16, 9 to 20, which the NIV and the NASB put in brackets and doubt and question, and which is absolutely questioned by Westcott and Hort, because B puts a blank space for it, and Aleph doesn't have it. There's a blank space also, and they keep it out. That practically the only documents that do leave out Mark 16, 9 and 20, very few others. But at least 10 church fathers allude to Mark 16, 9 to 20, as Brigham points out, before the 4th century, when B and Aleph ever saw the light of day. If indeed the 4th century, 350 A.D., was the date of B and Aleph, and they eliminated and omitted, where did these 10 church fathers then get it when they alluded to it from the 1st, 2nd century, 3rd century, and 4th century? See, that's the point. That's the burden of proof. Well, they alluded to it because it was in their hands. Mm-hmm. See, that's the proof of the church fathers. See, the Westcott and Hort theory makes no assessment at all of quotations of Scripture or allusion to Scripture. Not that we worship the church fathers theologically, not that we say that's the way to reconstruct the text, but when they say certain words which cannot be anywise found in the whole New Testament except in a certain place, you see, in a phrase, that is strong proof that they had that in their hands. See what I mean? They were referring to documents which antedated B and Aleph and even them themselves. So Bergon says, take the manuscripts, take the quotations of the church fathers, take the ancient versions. What does the early Syriac say, the Peshitta, you see? What does the Creatonian say? What does the Old Latin, you see, Vitus Itala, as they call it, or what is the even the Jerome's Latin of the Vulgate, and various other things. The early versions And then what do the lectionaries say? See, there are over 2,100 and some odd lectionaries, which are readings from the churches. They read certain portions from this Sunday, or this Sunday, and they were actually Greek New Testaments cut up, made for that purpose, for lections or lectionaries. Well, there are over 2,000 of those, and what do they say? They're from the early centuries. Probably the practice began in the 2nd century, 3rd century. There's evidence, and Burgon points these all out, and they all have the last 12 verses of Mark. And not a one of them leaves them out. But see, and they read them on two important days of the church, for example, Mark 16, 9 to 20, Ascension Day and on Easter, you know, resurrection type thing. Ascension Day and Easter. So these two great, big, large feasts of the church, plus every 11 weeks, which means 6 or 7 times a year, they read from the last 12 verses that have read these lectionaries. Here's the lectionaries point. So you see, the evidence is strong, and of course, Burgon doesn't look just at one small representation of antiquity in B and Aleph, which were dug up and found in Egypt, or at least that was their source. They don't even represent the whole Egyptian documents as such. They're two documents, but they're not represented, and certainly not of Syria, of Asia Minor, of Greece, and various other places where the location of the other documents were. So basically, that's in a nutshell what we taught this last summer, and what was it, 40 hours. We had a 40-hour text and translations. It was encouraging. I was glad for the 5 who attended that seminar. And
you're going to do that again?
Yes, Lord willing, next summer. Yeah. We'll have another one. But there's a wealth of information, and I think the more you read and study, the more the evidence points to that direction. But you see, Westcott and Hort sold the bill of goods to the people on this side of the Atlantic. The scholarly world was taken by storm. A.T. Robertson, who's the author of this large, thick grammar that I told you about, Southern Baptist, you know, in the light of historical research, which he swallowed hook, line, sinker, he's Westcott and Hort completely. And for the Presbyterians, it was Robert Dick Wilson, Machen, you know, those fellows. What's the other man? Warfield especially. And so they popularized in this side of the Atlantic. And if it's good enough for those men, and they were highly looked up to, and therefore it's good enough for everybody. So it was pushed. And of course, then Burgon, who was a lone ranger, you might say, he was pushed down into nothingness. And of course, his books fell out of print, and that's why we've reprinted all 5 of his books on a textual issue, 2,000 pages, and we want people to read them. We want people to see the side that that is, I think, the genuine position. So anyway, but this is an invaluable work here with these footnotes down here. It gives you exactly the battle lines, because everything that's here, that's what we're fighting about. All these footnotes. Are they genuine changes, or should we take the text to receptors? Now, that's the issue.
Did you publish that?
No, I haven't yet, but it's a possibility we may in the future. We can get a copy made on our copy machine, a slow, laborious, more expensive than if we were to run off in bulk. Well, I don't know. I think it could run 647 pages, usually 5 cents a page, usually. You know, it'd be in that neighborhood, $30, $25. I mean, that's a just. I don't know. It depends on how long it took us to do it. But we've done it. Dan, my son, made this copy for me, you know, front and back, so we could bind it in our machine. And he made extra copy. And so there, we've had one man wanted it.
Where did that come from?
This came from Scribner's New Testament in Greek, according to the text file of the Authorized Version, together with the variations adopted in the Revised Version, edited by Scribner. So he was on the committee of 1881. He fought Hort. And it was his job, even though he's against a lot of these changes, in fact, most of the changes, it was his job to see the changes through the printer, and faithfully, as a scholar that he was in the Greek language, to see that this was accurately made. This is and he felt the best way to do it was put them all in here, the text receptus at the base, put in boldface the changes, and put in the footnotes the exact change that they made. So it was Scribner that did. This particular one is 1949. It was from the Protestant Episcopal Seminary there in Virginia. That's where this came from. They acquired it March 1955. And a pastor friend of mine, I was having some meetings there on the text and translations and on the King James Version, text receptus and things of that nature. And he said he could find this, and he gave me a copy. He didn't charge me anything for it. On the IBM machine. Very good quality first So I've got that in there. From that, I put on my good quality machine. We're buying rather. It's not ours yet. And then we can make it and do what we want to do with it. See? So that's where we are at that particular point.
So those Burgon books are out of print, those five
books? That's
right.
Those five books are out of print. See, Revision Revised came into print and then out just for a momentary time. The Conservative Classics brought them into print long enough for me to look at them, carry them in the Bible for the day, read it, be completely convinced it was the best one to get. And so we reprinted that first. Last 12 verses of Mark was reprinted by Jay Green years ago by Sovereign Grace Book Club for a brief moment again, 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and then it went out of print, see. The traditional text of the Holy Gospel, I've never in my lifetime ever known that that's been in print. That may have been, but I don't know about it. And also the causes of corruption of the text of the New Testament, that's in my lifetime never been in print. And then inspiration and interpretation, giving Burgon's belief and plenary verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the scripture right down to the letters, it's never been in print, to my knowledge, in my lifetime. So these are the books of Burgon that these two
bindings. Did you put that in? Did you put that in the?
We put in five. Yeah, five separate. Yeah, we put five separate. You know, in fact, a man here just came from California. Got all five of them last night. He's interested in this whole thing. He wants Burgon, Dr. John Huffman. He's a counselor, Christian counselor, and got his doctor of religious education and so on. And I've known him through the years. But that's basically the. Where we are in the battle.
What is the price of that package at five? I forgot.
Well, it's $56 total, but we have a special price. If you get all five at once, we lower down to $40. They take off $16 and give I don't know what amounts of percentage wise that is, but that's what we would offer the Bible for Today people. I could look at it with a sharp pencil, and a few fellows are interested, I might be able to do a little better for you as students. We'll see about that, but that's generally the ballpark figure, something like that. But there's 2,000 pages, and they're invaluable because they're not available. See, of course, again, that's why I think the other side has taken the thing by storm because people are not able to read. Now, Pickering's book, The Identity of the New Testament Text, that's printed by who's the one that printed the New King James Version? Nelson. That's a very good popularization now, the Burgon points, and they're bringing it up to date. And then, of course, which Bible, printed and edited by Dr. David Otis Fuller, brings up to date some of these and reprints condensations of Burgon. True and False does the same, also by edited by Dr. Fuller. And Counterfeit or Genuine, Mark 16 and John 8, the woman taking the dog. That more or less condenses some of Burgon. So there you get tastes of Burgon, and that's what really led me to go after Burgon himself, because I read these three books that were edited by Dr. Fuller, who's a personal friend of mine, now in his 81st year, by the way. And he did this, and I saw Burgon just in condensation form. I said, I want to read the whole thing. See, I don't want to stop, but I want to read everything, see? So that's why I got a hold of this thing.
Is that all he wrote?
No, he wrote about 15, 20, 30 different books, you know, different subjects and topics, you know, biographies and so forth. But I mean, on the textual issue, see, those main five, see. So I'm zeroing in on those five reprint, and so that was it. So, all right, pardon me for taking an elaborate length of time. We will now exchange our papers at 7:45. I think we can still catch up. I think we have ways and means of catching up. So if you could just exchange your papers, please, and put down the bottom, greatest by. Oh, that's yours here?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pass that in there.
That's nice.
Oh, that's it. Thank you.
Critical. don't let me go get my paper.
So are they
I don't on? Have to correct any.
That's all right. Go right ahead and correct them. Yeah, Robertson is Westcombe, or he takes it all the way along. Of course, basically it's on the Greek grammar and so on, but whenever he refers to anything, he's...
Why do you think a guy like that, a guy like Warfield, would be sold a bill of goods like that?
Well, it appeals to the intellect, it appeals to the mind. You see, their whole idea is speculative. They believe that they should treat the Bible as any other book, which I believe is very wrong and fallacious. They're unbelievers. They're churchmen, but they're apostates as far as many errors and so on. My little theological heresies, Westcott and Hort, for instance, I think coined a lot of those out. Plus, I have an analysis of their Westcott's book on resurrection, two books they wrote on the resurrection, and how they're sliding on that. And very, he says certain words, but if you see what they really mean, what they're really saying, you see he denies the Bible very clearly. But anyhow, that's their framework. It appeals to the mind. It appeals to guesswork. That's why it's basically internal evidence. See, Bergon had seven tests of truth, notes of truth, five external evidence, and two internal evidence. The two internal evidence are context and internal evidence as such. And you see, the Westcott and Hort people are shut up to internal evidence very strongly. And they go, therefore they have three or four rules to how to determine a reading, see. Not by external documents. Bergon said external documents determine the reading. What do the manuscripts say? What do the Church Father quotations say? What do the versions say? What do the lectionaries say? What do these 5,255 that we have today say? See, Bergon in his day had less, but the percentage is about the same, see. It's 99% or so, or 95% on the one side and 5% on the other. And that's what he said. These others say, well, what do these two documents say? And even when the two documents, when they're all different, especially when B and Aleph contradict each other. See, there was a man by the name of Codex B, and it's a lie, is the title of it. 400 and so pages in one volume, 400 in the other. Got it in there in very poor form. But Hoskier, there it is, Herbert Hoskier, Herman, I guess it is, Hoskier, H-O-S-K-I-E-R, wrote these 800 pages, and he titled it, Codex B and Its Lies. Very technical. Working in these two that they worship as the Bible, the B and Aleph. He found in the Gospels alone, B and Aleph contradict one another upwards of more than 3,000 times. Now the Gospels alone, if B and Aleph contradict each other 3,000 times, and these are the Bible, this is the Bible, this is the original, Westcott and Hort. One of the two has to be a liar 3,000 times. Mm-hmm. Both of them cannot be right. One of them has to be wrong. Maybe both of them are wrong. But in contradiction, see, it's the point of seeing what kind of witnesses these are. They're not respectable witnesses. They're lying witnesses. In fact, on the surface, Aleph has 10 different hands. From a certain number of centuries out of the other, from the 6th century to the 14th, I don't remember exactly the century, but there are different hands that can be obviously seen. But anyway, these internal evidence is very strong in the Westcott and Hort tradition, and that's why they have the canons of criticism, where these two can't even agree, and they've got to say, well, and they don't go to the other texts and the Church Fathers and the other evidence that's external, as Bergon would. They just have these, and so to determine which is what, because they don't know what it is, and B has this, and Aleph has this, and A has this, and C has this, and D has this, these five old uncials, you see, that they like to worship because of their age. So they have to have these kinds of criticism. And so one of them is the easier, the more difficult reading is always the best. Because it's the opposite of what you think. The reading that harmonizes the two, that's always preferred. And several others. I don't remember all these different, but they were these canons of criticism. Bergon has five notes of truth, very easily remembered by an acronym of, let's see, what is the acronym? KJ, I guess it is, no. AV, that's it, that's King James Word. I'm trying to get AV, it's been a while since I reviewed this, AVNRC, there it is. AV, authorized version, and not Roman Catholic version. See, that's just my memory. A, antiquity. See, that's gold, not just one little sample of antiquity, like A and B, or B and Aleph, rather, from Egypt, but all of antiquity. What do they all say? See, all the Church Fathers of antiquity, all the lectionaries, all the other things, all the manuscripts of antiquity. V, variety. The evidence, not only antiquity of the evidence, but the variety of evidence. Mm-hmm. Not just a couple of uncials. What about the cursive manuscripts as well as the uncials? What about the lectionaries? What about the Church Fathers? What about the ancient verse? The variety of evidence. And they all, there's the evidence. See? And then N. What does the N stand for? N is number. Why can't I think of number? Why? Number as of witnesses. It stands to reason that if one man denies that this man is a murderer and testifies to his good behavior and so on, and 10 witnesses come into court and say they saw this man kill this other man or the other woman and so on, it stands to reason that the sheer weight of number of witnesses is a strong evidentiary witness to the truth. And this, of course, number. See, that's where the bulk of witnesses, the bulk of church fathers, the bulk of quotations, you know, ancient versions, the bulk of the lectionary. So that's number. A, antiquity. V, variety. N, number. Now, RC, R, respectability of witnesses. In other words, they must be respectable men that you know about. So that's why the church fathers, 86,000 quotations alone that Bergen has in these 16 folio volumes in the British Museum, showing each one of these men, though some of them we don't agree with theologically, they're not right in many areas, yet we know who they are. We know when they wrote. We know something about their background. We know that they're individual people. We don't know anything about these manuscripts. I mean, that's just an example. Their manuscripts are, they don't title, I'm the fellow that did it. It could be a sloppy scribe, you know. But these fellows, you know who they are. In other words, the respectability. The respectability of the Textus Receptus type manuscript, for example, is high because it's so homogenous. Sure, they disagree in slight spellings here and slight readings there, but basically, the vast majority of these cursors, to the tune of 80 to 95%, concur that this is the reading of the Greek New Testament. Well, that's a huge factor of number, see, sure, and respectability, not only number, but respectability because of the unity. As opposed to being Aleph, which is a, what is, how did Bergen phrase it? Concordia discourse, which means a concord of discord. In other words, the only thing they agree on is that they disagree. In fact, he analyzed these five ancient old uncials, and he says they disagree more than they agree. In any one particular verse, these old five uncials, as Westcott and Hort say, are the best because of the oldest, are more apt, more likely to disagree with one another than they would to agree. See, in any given instance, you pick the Bible, the New Testament, at any point. And where they have? Now, the ancient five old uncials don't always have existence in all throughout. They just have part of Matthew and part of Mark. But when they do agree, when they do have, when they overlap, see, you look at them, and they're more apt to be a concordia of discord rather than a unity. But the others, respectable because they agree. The final one, RC, C is continuity. In other words, the continuity, it's not, see, the B and Aleph have no continuity. They stop dead in their tracks. There's no other manuscripts beyond the 4th century that basically, with all intents and purposes, that carry forth the heresies. I'm saying they're heresies, that's my belief that they're wrong. The false teachings, the dropping of this and dropping of that and taking away Mark 16, 9 to 20, various other, they drop. They drop out of history. See, but Bergen says continuity is important. Was it in the first century? Was it in the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and the eighth? Still readings? Continuity through the history of the Christian church. And you see, they fail there because they don't have a continuity. They stop dead. Now, though some of the readings are early, yet the Textus Receptus, traditional text readings, are even earlier than all. They even go back far. In fact, the church fathers, there are 76 church fathers that died 400 A.D. or before. That in the traditional text of the Greek New Testament, Miller, who is the one who was an understudy of Bergen, when Bergen died at the age of 75, 1888, Miller was given the task to edit the traditional text and causes of corruption. And he tells his story in the preface to both of these volumes. One is a continuation of the other. This is what Bergen was working to the last 15 years or 20 years of his life, is to have a magnum opus of textual criticism, how to do it, and how to main techniques. So he had these big piles of documents, and Miller put them into shape. Some were written by Dean Bergen, others were filled in by Miller, you know, as to what Bergen's position was, he knew. But anyway, Miller, using Bergen's indexes of the church fathers, 86,000 quotations plus, came up with 76 church fathers that died 480 years before. Well, that's almost the age of the B and Aleph, which is 4th century, you know, up to 375, which is a record. And those, he not only found the so-called traditional text, or the text of the Textus Receptus, in existence from the church fathers writing in 100, 200, 300, up to 480, not only in existence, but it was more in quotations from the traditional text than the so-called Neologian text, which is the Westcott and Hort text, this other text which leaves out this and leaves out that. In greater numbers was the traditional text than the other. Not only greater numbers, but a preponderance in the proportion 3-2. Three traditional text quotations, church fathers, two to the others. And he has the chart. Here's all the different church fathers, right on down, Irenaeus and Tertullian and various others, the Latin fathers and the Greek fathers and so on, and he gives how many from the Neologian, how many from the traditional text, right straight down the line, based upon Burgon's exhaustive quotations in these 16 folio volumes. This is research. This type of thing, why it's much easier and shorter to just take Westcott and Hort's two documents, say, oh, this is what they'd be announced, fine, this is it, forget it, see. But that's not the way the Word of God, the precious holy Word of God, ought to be treated, by just taking two documents and say, this is it. I don't believe it. So he has this external evidence, what I'm saying, continuity. So the AV, not the Roman Catholic, AVNRC, A of antiquity, V, variety of evidence and witnesses, N, the number of witnesses, R, the respectability of witnesses, and C, the continuity of witnesses. Those are the things. Plus these other two notes of truth, which are context and internal evidence, but he did not stress these. When these others were in line, when you needed these others for context and internal evidence, Burkhardt would use them, but his main fort was the external, not the internal evidence. The objective evidence, not the subject. But Burkhardt, the others, Westcott and Hort, and all these men, you ask why they adopted it, because I think that they thought that they had the critical prowess to be able to discern with these so-called canons of internal evidence of textual criticism, the more difficult reading the best, the one that harmonizes with the other two, and there's a couple others. They thought they had the insight to know which would fit these canons, and therefore which was the right reading. They had the brains. It appeals to the intellectual. But Burgon was also an intellectual, but he did not want the Word of God decided by our thoughts. But what was the evidence? What did we have that we had that we could see and weigh and feel and touch? Not just the way he felt it ought to be decided. And he calls the in Revision Revised, especially, you want to read that and get that first perhaps, he calls the Westcott and Hort method a number of things, but among other things, he calls it an adventure into cloudland. He likes that, adventure into cloudland. Intuition and so on. But that's basically now to preponderate this, what I consider to be extreme, strange philosophy. They had to come up with a genealogical relationship between documents, and they had to come up with the fact, as I say, that they're all related. These 562 that are so-called Byzantine or traditional text, or call it what you will, or Syrian or whatever the text, they have a family. Genealogically related to all to each other, therefore you throw that out, just make that one witness, see? And the other families, and so they have these families. But Burgon has a good analogy about the family situation. See, Greek manuscripts have no author. They have no, I wrote this, I'm in a certain age, and this is when I put this down, I copied this on such and such a day and a month, and this is the year, and I copied it from this other manuscript. And therefore, it's a copy of this one, see? There's no genealogical situation. Burgon says it's like going into a cemetery with 1,000 graves and cadavers, bodies. You dig them all up. You get the bones. And now you try to find out which one's related to which. And not a single grave is marked. Not a single grave is marked. Now, that's the problem we have in the text. This family idea and this genealogical relationship idea is absolutely without one shred of evidence. But yet this is what they go into strong. The genealogical family type at Westcott. Another thing they go into is probability, which is guesswork. They have transcriptional probability, and they have transcriptional probability and intrinsic probability. I was going to forget the term. You know, if you don't write down these things thinking, you sort of slip a few memory hints. Intrinsic probability is, if I were writing the Gospel of John as an author, what Greek word would I use and how would I spell it? See, that appeals to the mind, see. That's what appeals to Robert Dick Wilson and the B.B. Warfield and A.D. Robertson, because they think, oh, I could resist, and I know Greek, and here's what I do. Intrinsic probability. Westcott and Hort were strong on intrinsic probability. What would I as an author use, and therefore this is the right text? Because that's what I would use if I were the author. The second probability, again, guesswork, adventure in a cloud line, is transcriptional probability. What if I now were a scribe? What error would I make if I were looking at this? Would I go back or would I go forward? Would I duplicate it? Would I spell it this way? And transcriptional probability in their mind, which again is pure guesswork, pure hypothesis, pure hypothetical thinking, decides the text based upon what the scribe would transcribe it. So these two probabilities are very strong. So why they accepted it, I don't know. That's a possibility, Phil. I really don't know, but it does appeal to the intellect. It is. It's almost like hyper-Calvinism.
But
does
Bergeron go into those theories?
Oh, yes, he sure does. Goes into them and he explodes them up one side and down the other. And that's in Revision Revised especially. Of course, it's throughout all of his books. But Revision Revised, because that has three things. It's three articles. Bergeron, fighter that he was a bachelor. He gave his whole life to the ministry of the Lord. His father didn't want him to be a preacher. See, he's got a biography, by the way, 800 and some odd pages, biography of Bergeron, which I have in copy form again. But in reading that, you see, his father was a manufacturer. He dealt with articles of art and so on overseas, and his mother was born in France and taught him French at an early age. He knew Greek when he was a little boy, and grapho, I write when he was running around in breeches. And he was a scholar of no mean import, but his father was a seller of, you know, goods and trade and so on, and he didn't want him to be a minister. He didn't want him to study theology. Bergeron wanted to. He felt the Lord wanted to. But, and so after his father died, at later on in age, he studied and went to Oxford. And, of course, he's an Anglican. We don't agree with his Anglicanism. But he studied late in age. And what was your question about Bergeron? Did Bergeron
cover those
books. Yeah, all right, good. Now, he studied late in life, and so he was an astute man. He gave his whole life to that thing, and of course, as a mature man, you know, going into the ministry, just like some of you men, you've been around a few years, you've studied, you've worked, you've had some experience, now you're studying for the ministry, and you're trying to learn the Word of God. Well, same with Bergeron. I don't know what age it was. I think he was 25, 30, maybe 35. I don't know what it was. When he went to school, he was the oldest fellow in school.
Something
like that. I don't know the dates. I forget the dates. It slipped my memory, but it's in the biography. I can throw it and find it. Came to this thing, and when this came out in 1881, this Revision Revised came out in 1883. See, 1881 is when the new text came out in the English Revised Version. And he wrote in the journal that he had, he was editor of, or at least he put the Quarterly Review. He wrote three articles. 1, 2, 3. That's what's reprinted in Revision Revised, with a few additional footnotes and explanations and so on. The first article, I believe, was entitled The Greek Text, that underlies this English Revised Version. Second was the English translation. And he rips that apart from one end to the other, the English Revised Version versus the King James Version. He likens that to one of them, came with the English Revised Version of 1881, the Westcott and Hort type English, of a buggy going down a bumpy road without any springs whatsoever, hitting every bump as it goes at a high speed, compared to the beautiful, smooth wagon and buggy with springs and a smooth road, King James Version says. By beauty, by phrase, by everything. It goes into the English translations here. So Greek text, the English Revised Version, the third article in order is the theory of Westcott and Hort answered. Not only the text and how that's fallacious, but the theory behind it is fallacious. So that third division, Manny, is where you get into the Greek idea of transcriptional probability, intrinsic probability, the canons of criticism, various other things Westcott and Hort had. So that was thorough as Bergeron.
I think I better get that.
Okay, 8:15. I think we can still make it, but we must sprout a few wings here and there. Now, down to the business, and we may not have time to read our Greek New Testament, John, but we might. Who knows? We'll see. We might. We might even have a little fit for that.
You got your real one.
Yes, real. Real one. Let's take a look at next week so we see where we're going and make our assignments. Next week, of course, is the fifth week. It'll be the 11th of October, 7 through 8 and a half, lesson 7 through 8 and a half. So let's take a look at lesson 7. Page 33. Let me give you the overall picture, then we'll go into some detail. The overall picture, take your vocabulary course, paragraph 38, take your declension of uranos, and we've got a number of declensions here. Don't let that throw you too much.
Is that anything that's new on that?
For Uranus. Nothing new. It's the same endings, just a different root. I would like to assign, in addition, the articles. Since once we've started the article, it's good to keep it going with the article, like the ha anthropos. Go ahead and I fill them in my book, and you can do the same. That's what I do. I just put a ha, to, toe, right on down. So you ought to let you know what it is. Because otherwise, you're going to let it slip. Well, is that a neuter noun? Is that a feminine noun? Or is it a masculine noun? See, is it ha, a, or ha, ta?
That's important.
I think it's important to know. So anyway, I want you to do that together. Then on the other page, 34, ta ergon. And here again, that's a neuter one. Now ta is neuter, see? Now masculine is, that's why I especially want you to get ha uranos, which is, and by the way, please, in your vocabulary, mark in the articles. And please, for your vocabulary next week, I want you to know the articles. The first column on the left are all ha, ha, ha. Ha, aldafos, adafos, ha taos, ha laos, ha uranos, and ha huios. The ones on the right column are all neuter. Ta. Tau Omicron, Tau Ergon, Tau Hieron, Tau Hemation, Tau Paideon, and Tau Technon. So it's important that we put these articles. Why they didn't put them in, I'll never know.
Excuse me.
They should have put them in the book, see, because whenever you learn a word, just like in Spanish, it's either el dinero or la ropa, you know, the money or the clothing. You know, the articles are always learned in languages together with a noun, so you know what is masculine or feminine. It's important.
Yeah. Now, excuse me, Doctor. Yeah. I was writing the left hand side. What is
those are all ha. Left hand side are all ha.
Got that.
All masculine. And the right hand side are all ta. And by the way, that ta, tau omicron, has an acute accent like that. A grave accent. It's a recessive. Put that like that. Ta ergon. All recessive. All recessive. They're all grave. We call it grave. Going back to the left. All right, so there we go for those. I've gone all the way down the line. And, of course, take our exercise, paragraph 45. Now, that takes care of 7. Now, we go to 8.5, don't we? Up to 8.5. So, we take another vocabulary, page 35. And you see articles are right in there on these. Ha. You see, they have doulos, ha, which means ha doulos. And they have, on the other side, doron, ta. Ta doron, the gift, the neuter article.
Do you want them that way, or should we put them the other way?
You put them the other way. I think they put them that way just because it's easier to print. I guess that's the main noun you're learning, and then the article is something else. You can do anything you want. Just so you have it. I always
grammatically, it doesn't make a difference.
No. But I always put ha-doulos, you know, the servant. You know, just like when you learn ha-anthropos in the declension, the ha was first. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it. In the vocabulary, they list it this way just for the sake of alphabetization, because in the back of your book you alphabetize by, you know, the delta or doulos and so on. They put ha after it. That's okay, just for alphabetical purposes.
Lost what you're doing. Yeah, all right, I get you. Yeah.
On paragraph
46.
Take 47 and please also put in your articles, because here you have doulos, which is ha, all the way along it's masculine, and you have the doron, which is ta, which is neuter, see. So put the ta right on down. All the way. That's what I did in my book. 47. Yeah, put the ha all the way, and you know, that's what I would do, so you can learn it right in there together, and you'll have it. Mm-hmm. And that is the end of the line. That's it. That's
you
enough.
Want the oracles?
We'll not do the exercise next week. We'll wait on that for the following week for 8.
So on 47, you want the oracles?
Put the articles right in there. And all everyone. Yeah, we're going to require the articles put in there. We know them already. I mean, we don't know that a neuter article yet, but I'll explain a few. Basically, you know most of it, except one form.
So we have two vocabs.
Two vocab. You got one exercise.
One, two, three declensions.
Let's see. You start on 7, do you? Yeah, start on 7. You got two vocabs. One declension, two declensions, three declensions, four.
before the clinch. And the clinch into the clinch.
Remember that one? I thought you'd remember that.
So we picked then at the end, we found last.
What I could do, if I were sly, as some teachers do, they don't give you what is their doron, but they slip a poteria on the cup, a neuter, a different word to you. Why throw at people? See, I could do that too, but I mean, why be the sly? And you don't have to do that. You get the picture. Once you get the endings, you got the root, if you know which of the root is and what's in. So that's the basic overall picture. Now we'll go back and explain things that may not be too clear. Hooray. All right, let's go down to page 33, lesson 7, paragraph 38 there. What's brother?
Adelphos.
And what's the article?
Ha.
Ha, Adelphos. Memory hint? Words that go with it?
Philadelphia.
Right. Right. That's right. Adelphos. That's a good one. God is what?
Yeah.
And the article?
Who?
Ha. 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 What's the accent? What's the accent?
The
Right. What's the word for people? By the way, the God, the memory hint for God, that was?
Theology
is fine. And people?
La-os.
What's the article?
La-os.
Perfect. You're getting perfect pronunciation of that Omicron. I like that.
Now,
after 4 weeks, we're getting it down.
I walked around all day. Too much in freshman German.
Huh?
In high school, it took 2 months to get.
2 months to get, is that right?
Yeah,
right.
But, excuse me, Laos, is that the background for the country Laos?
I don't know. It might be.
It might be called the people.
Yeah, maybe so. People's Government, Republic of Red China, you know, People's Government. Mm. What is another memory hint? It's not Laos. What's the opposite of clergy?
Laity.
Laity. Nicolaitans. I hate the deeds of Nicolaitans. Remember Revelation 2 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Laos.
What
Nicolaitans was to conquer Laos people, conquerors of the people, Nicolaitans.
Conquer
the people in hierarchical
Revelation.
People.
I know that.
Well, it's probably the dictatorship of the popes and the priests.
Okay, I didn't know that anyone knew exactly.
There's no congregational government, see. No, people have no say, so that type of thing, probably.
Conquering
the people.
Negating of the people.
Yeah, they have no say or anything.
Right.
Sort of like some of our Baptist churches. Congregation has no say in anything. The deacons run the show. They even run the pastors on them. Sad. Without expanding on that. Heaven is what? What the article?
Aaron.
What's what kind of breathing? Rough or smooth?
Uranus.
Or is the accent? Ha? Is it rough or smooth? Is it rough or smooth?
Ha? Smooth.
Uranus.
Ha? What's the accent?
Uranus.
What's the accent?
Uranus.
What's the accent?
It's on the end.
That's right. It's the ultima.
Uranus.
Ha? Uranus. Ha? Uranus. You got it. What's the memory?
Uranus.
Uranus,
that's good.
Was that name that?
Yeah, that's right.
That was name.
Heaven, it's up in the heavens.
Planet of heaven.
Yeah.
Why did you pick one though?
I don't know.
Must tie in the Greek
mythology. Uranus, Saturn, Pluto. What is it? Earth, Mars, Venus, and so on.
It might have been.
Maybe that was going to be the last one.
Maybe that was the last planet found at that particular point in time, and they didn't find Pluto until. I don't know.
Is Saturn beyond Pluto? I've never memorized the earth planets.
Mars, then Earth, then Venus, then Jupiter,
Uranus, Neptune.
Okay, I remember
Neptune.
They discovered Pluto after Walt Disney, right?
That's right.
That'd be after Walt Disney.
Right. At least.
All right. Plutos, of course, means rich in Greek. If it's Plutos, if that's the Ploutos, they probably changed Plu, but I mean the word Plutos means
rich. Oh, back to the origin of the word. Yeah, they all seem to be Mercury and
Mercurius.
And Mars.
Mercurius.
Mars. That's all Greek. A lot of Greek mythology.
After I want a Mars bar came. Mars.
Yeah, there.
So I don't know whether that's Mercury.
I mean,
that's
Act 17,
or
wasn't it?
Trying to like that Latin.
I think
Greek.
That's
Roman. Mercury.
Mercury.
Roman. Yeah,
Roman. That's the Roman mythology.
Hermes was the Greek messenger of the gods, and Mercury was the Latin.
Right.
So I think we got to get
our
pantheons.
Paul in Acts.
Latin and Greek, huh?
Paul in Acts.
Yeah, Mercury, that's right. Yeah. All right, so there's heaven. What's about sun? What is sun? S-O-N.
Huios.
Any memory hits on that? Huios.
Huios.
I don't know that I know of any Huios.
It sure is hot.
What's sun in Spanish?
Sun, this kind of sun here?
Yes.
Niño.
Oui.
Oh, hijo.
Sure
hijo.
Is hot.
Hijo.
Hijo.
Yes. No, I said, oh, oui, sure is hot.
Oui.
How are you going to tie that in the sun?
Huh?
How are you going to tie that in the sun?
Oh, sun.
Oh.
Oui.
Oh,
sure
oh,
sun.
Oh,
I said, that's the wrong
oui.
Sun.
Sure, sure is hot. It takes you more to memorize that than it does
this. S-U-N, no.
Yeah.
This is S-O-N. All right, work is what? The work.
Oh. Paul, Aaron, Ergon.
Ergon. Don't forget your role.
Ergon.
Ergon. Ergon. Ergon. Remember him? Ergon.
Ergon. What is it?
Ergon.
No.
Erg, a unit of work. Remember Erg?
Yeah.
And Dine? ERG?
Unit of work.
That's right. So the demiurge.
Erg, yeah.
As maybe an also demiurge,
Gilbert?
Possibly.
Hmm? Gilbert? See? Who did they erg as a unit of work?
I don't know, it's been a while. That's physics.
John
physics.
John Kenneth Galbraith?
In the
Gilbert. The metric system is in the, it's not an English measure of
right?
work.
Of work?
It's in the
British thermal unit? No, that's heat, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's a measure of work, but I've forgotten how you.
There's a dyne and an erg.
Yeah, but an erg is smaller than
a dyne. Yeah, that's right.
I forgot.
Measure of work in our system is what?
$1.
Foot pounds. Yeah, I guess it's foot pounds. Okay.
Dollars.
So that's erg. Erg. Temple. What's the word for temple? You might write down your memory hints on your page. It might help. What is it? Temple is
Aaron.
Is it rough or smooth?
Rough. Aaron.
How do you pronounce the last syllable?
Aaron.
All right. Aaron. Any memory hint for Aaron?
What?
Aaron. Any memory hint for Aaron?
Hieronymus Bosch. I don't think he had anything to do with
it. Hieronymus Bosch?
Hieron.
You know what the word hierarchy comes from?
Hieronymus?
Sure. Hierarchy is to rule. Archeo.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And hieros, rule by the priests, the temple people.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Hierarchy.
Well, no, how does it come again?
Hierarchy.
Rule.
Hierarchy. And archeo, hieros, is the word of the church's word for ecumenicity, isn't it? Oiku mene, mene to dwell, oiku in one house, dwelling in one house, all dwelling in one big world house, therefore all brothers under this tent. So, quote unquote, universal father of God and brother of men, which is heresy, of course. The house we got, the wine is what? The wine.
Oinos.
Oinos. Any memory hints on wine?
What it sounds like.
Sounds like
oinos.
Probably wine tasters that have oenography or probably. I don't know that word, but I wouldn't doubt what they have out of that wine tasting.
Mm-hmm.
What about the eye? Any memory of that?
Yeah, that's
ophthalmologist.
Ophthalmologist.
That's it. There you go. What about gift? The gift is what?
What about apple?
Pardon me?
Apple.
Oh, I'm sorry. Apple. From or off is what? Apple.
Apple.
That's used only with the appellative case. from or out. See, the from case, that's the apo.
Now, does that apo give it more intensity or something like that, since it already, we know that the ablative means from anyway?
Yes.
Or is that just kind of like a prefix?
Lewis, you see what that one buzz is, telling my wife that we're still teaching her, see what she wants, and that's an emergency, we'll not answer.
Is it more of a prefix? Because I've seen attached to...
Oh, yeah, different other words, yes. Sometimes it is a prefix.
Yeah,
sometimes it's a separable preposition.
But if it's separate, does it mean it gives it more intensity or something like that?
Than just the ablative alone, you mean?
Right.
Yes. Well, that's a question. The question is, do the prepositions govern the cases, or the cases govern the prepositions? You see, that's the balance. No one knows.
There's a man from New Hampshire on the call.
Oh, just sort of an emergency. Okay.
A year.
That was Dr. Rodney Price. He's a teacher of Northeast Bible Institute up there in the Baptist Church in New Hampshire. And he was one of our pupils in the Specs and Translations course. And he's teaching that course in his Bible school up there.
Good.
And I'm glad to hear that. He's just teaching that thing right out.
We want a clarification on textual, I guess it's not textual criticism, but it's evaluating the text.
Mm-hmm.
In viewing the different translations, or if you're trying to look at different manuscripts, if it's an easier writing in terms of the way the grammar and structure.
Yeah, easier reading. You know.
Easier reading versus a more difficult reading. Would you say is it the more difficult reading that probably is the...
Well, that's what they say. That's their text. That's their canon of criticism.
Right,
yeah.
But isn't it the more easier? Is probably, if you had to line it up, you would probably say that translation or copy, the easier copy is probably the more accurate one.
Well, many times it would be, you see, because if it's a normal transition, people do that.
You don't write up
to make it difficult. But see what they say.
Easier.
See, I don't buy any of these canons. I take, give me the evidence.
Right.
Give me the evidence. Give me the objective, factual evidence of what has God preserved for us in all the manuscripts,
like
all the versions, all the church fatherly quotations, all the lectionaries. That's my Bible. See,
mm-hmm.
I don't talk to me of what man thinks.
Yeah,
his brain. Which is egocentric.
Yes.
So that's the problem. Now, you see, what they say is, what would a scribe, trying to smooth it out, if it's real difficult, that's got to be the right one because it's so difficult, so outlanding. Well, not necessarily. It could be the opposite. It could be the easier way.
Yeah.
See? It really could be. But I don't get my mind all barnswoggled by that, or hornswoggled, or whatever the word is, because I don't buy that particular methodology, see. But that's what you learn in the regular textual criticism courses. You learn about all these canons of criticism. I don't know why I can't think of the third one. There's a third one, a very simple, long line, same line. They're all in Latin, of course. That makes them more impressive.
Oh, yeah.
The more difficult, and so on. The one that explains the others. Now, if you have the man went to the barn and to the chicken coop, and one says to the barn, this is the chicken coop, you pick the one that explains both the barn and chicken coop, and obviously one is just the one, so I don't know, harmonization. The one that explains the other two, and then the third one is something simple like it just slips me, because I haven't really kept those canons. There's another one, the difficult, the easy, something else that they use in that same context. All right, now, where were we before our
Yes.
All right, did we finish?
That
was
again.
Right, remember
that Todorum? Oh, yeah. I thought it was Todorum.
Yeah.
We're found here on
Apo.
Apo.
Yeah, well, there's a big argument as to whether the case determines the preposition that's used with it, or the preposition used with it determines the case. You see, the interrelationship is fuzzy in the Greek language, but page after page in this A.T. Robertson is taken up, or in the Dana and Manny. See, I got these books.
Mm-hmm.
In case we want to use them for, you know, what you want to buy, but there's no time to examine them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that tonight, but when Steve is here, maybe next week, we can do it anyhow. I'll just put them over here, and we'll just remind me, and we'll go through them and see what you want to buy first. The slide chart is here, you know, just like
the
Hebrew
slide chart,
see, so we'll evaluate them and see what would be the best first, second, third, and right down the line. You can look at them and so on. All right, so Apo is a difficult decision. But for now, let's just know that some prepositions are only used with one case, some have two cases, and when they're used with two cases, they have different meanings, you see. Dia with the accusative is on account of, because of, the cause. Dia with the genitive or ablative is through or by means of, see. That's a different technique, a different nuance.
Mm-hmm.
So dia with the accusative
like
is different
from...
Yeah, that's right. Dia with it like diagonal, that same thing, it's through. And so it it's a different situation. So we go on then to gift, Todorong.
Well, on the I think I know this, on the memory hint mm-hmm. on that one?
Yeah.
What Isn't that the root for apostasy?
Apostasia. Oh, apo, yes, good. Apostasia, histemi, to stand, and apo is away, to stand away from. That's right. Apostasia, yeah, that's a good one. Or apo, apology, apologeo. Logeo is the word, and apo is away from. It's sort of an explanation or defense. Why they call apologia is anybody's guess, but that's the same word. It comes from apo. Todoran, the memory hint as well.
Todoran.
Dorothy, my sister's name. Dorothy.
Gift of God.
Gift of God. I didn't think so. Is her growing up? She's all right now. But Doros. Todoros. All right. What about the boat? What is the boat?
Ploion.
I don't know of any memory on a ploion. Except the boats ply the.
By the waters.
Waters, that's the only thing I can think of, but that's not any word. Ploya. Cup, the cup is what? Topaterion. Topaterion. I don't know the memory hint there either. Topaterion. Topaterion. The face is what? Okay. The face? Toprosopon. Toprosopon. Yeah, I don't know of any there either. I don't know.
Yeah.
Physiognomy, no, that's a different thing. Sabbath as well.
Sabbaton.
Again, the Sabbath sounds like Sabbath.
Sabbaton.
And because Sabbath has got a TH sound, and Sabbaton has got the tau. I'm sure Phil studied ahead and he got a
study. They must have transliterated that one pretty much.
Yes, that's right. With the
Hebrew.
Hebrew, yes. Shabbat, that's right, Shabbat, you're right. Mm-hmm. Is that what happened? Phil looked ahead and saw that Sabbath.
That must have been
the Sabbaton of the Tau.
I should only be ahead in this class.
All right, the following now for Doulos, Hadoulos, and Todor. All right, let's go through Doulos very quickly. Time being as it is, Hadoulos, to Dulu, to Dulu, to Dulu, Tondulon, and then Dulu. Plural, Hoi Duloi, Tondulon, Tondulon, Tois Dulois, Tus Dulus, and Dulu. And now for Doron, it's a neuter again, like Ergon, right? Ta Doron. To Doru, To Doro, To Doro, Tandora.
Now
that's a different. There is a little bit of a. Oh no, that's all right. That's all right. Ta Doron is all right. That's all right. The same as the Ergon. And then the evocative is Doron. All right. Try the plural then. Ta Dora. Tondoron, Tois Dorois, Ta Dora, and Dora. So that takes us up to that point there. And if you look at your chart, which I gave you earlier, last week or week before, you'll find that we've gone all the way up through 6. From 1 to 6. See, that's how many we've had so far in declensions. These are the words right up here. Now, if you want to use your blanks and fill in your own writing so that you can see how you would write those, fine. Go ahead and do it so you can read them and translate them maybe even clearer than I may have written them. But halagos, haanthropos, hauranos, ergon, hadoulos, todoron. Those first 6, those are what we've got. That's what we've mastered or presumably will master. Basically, they're all the same. There's not much difference except the articles here and there and the ending for the anonymous and the accusative. All right, I think that's all we need to say. Anything else that we need to say on that?
Supposed to turn in a test. Did you get all the tests before?
Oh, yeah, bring in the test if you have it. Yeah, you have all the tests. All right. Now, 49 is just background about the circumflex accent. No problem. Do I have all the other tests, all the rest of you fellows?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to the exercises and see if we can madly dash through them in the 11 minutes that remain. You exchange your papers, please, and put on that graded by at the bottom. We have a total of 98 points. There are two exercises, are there not? Starting with page what? Page 30, is it? Yes, page 30, paragraph 29.
Doc,
yes, yes,
I didn't...
Didn't do both?
I didn't do both. I didn't get the second
Which one.
All
right, well then,
I did the first
take
one.
A note of that and do it next week.
Okay,
I'll be gracious.
And don't get behind if you can
50%
help
50%
off? Yeah. That'd be a failure? No. All right, paragraph 29.
Somewhere. I don't have a paper.
Yeah, I
got it.
Here.
Here's the first one.
All right, what is litho, man? Litho.
Where are we here?
Page 30.
Litho is,
Lithography. Litho means stone.
Right.
Stone.
In the stone.
In the stone.
Or
by
whatever
stone.
By the
stone.
Yeah, I put lid stone.
Oh, lid stone is all right. What's cosmo?
It is of earth or world.
Of the world or from the world. Either one. Of or from the world. Thronon is what? Thronon.
Is,
Of the thrones or from the thrones,
thrones.
Yeah,
thrones. Would be all right if I did that? On those, I put like G/A for genitive rather.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's all right.
Okay. Save all that right
now. Yeah, I know, but what we want to do, though, is translate. So you should have of the
Well, I did.
Yeah, he said of or from.
I did G/A or of the thrones.
Oh, that's all right. That's fine. That's good.
You, instead of writing the phrase out twice or something like that.
I handed you the one in pencil. It's in pencil.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I really the best
right,
is because I want to get to remember. I'm not really up on it.
On the other side, opposite side.
I didn't have to put
this. Yeah, this is 21, Larry.
Yeah.
Here.
So this
same.
Is the one I should get.
That's the
one
I
should
get.
That's the one
I should
get.
That's the one. A lot of kids. College trip to Iraq.
Yeah, you have some
progress too. Keep this, we need to translate that and. This is what I should.
That's the one that you got to mark. That's the one that's late. This is the.
Yeah.
Okay, let's.
Okay.
Hustle on our toes here. Thronon is of the throne from the thrones. All right, what is the number?
All right, so number one was what?
By the stone, to the stone, from the stone.
Law.
Cosmos of the world or from the world, and Thronon is of the throne or from
the
law. A logoi namu, words of the law, or words of a law, either one. Words of the law, are they words of the law? Okay.
Just go over them again.
That's
number one.
That's
from or two or four or by a stone.
Ditto.
Two or four
by
a
stone, yeah. You know, the lid case. Cosmo of or from the world.
Ditto. That was about the
right.
The throne of or from the world. From the throne. From the other from the thrones. Right?
Well, there's so many combinations.
That doesn't make sense either. Over from the thrones, no? Of the thrones, from the thrones?
Didn't
do
it? You
let me. Oh, I did it already. Yeah. I think I was able to
free.
Oh,
okay.
First one was with
right
a stone.
Could be with a stone.
Could it be with a stone?
With a stone.
Exactly.
Two stone, four stone.
Well,
second
one.
Stone.
I don't know which ones I'm looking at.
Over from.
Remember.
Cus of a world. There's a world.
Of a world, huh?
Cosmos. And the third one?
Over from the thrones. Over from a throne. A thrones.
I don't know. Where'd you get that from?
I'm not sure. Why don't you just let me figure out what I did.
Okay. I must go on with two.
You better just move on.
Or you can create it, Phil, as you think best. There.
I don't know how.
You don't know how.
No, he wrote.
I did this.
It didn't. It's the words didn't coincide with what you did.
Non-sequitur.
At the place.
Non-sequitur.
No, in other words, this is there.
Sense.
But then he has this word with that.
Oh,
and
no, I see what
that.
You did.
Yeah.
You do?
Uh-huh.
I don't.
You went from paragraph 1, Roman numeral 1, down to 2, right?
Oh.
Right? In the second one, a place and
yeah,
world? Yeah. You went from 1-1 to 2-1. Look down below.
That was it, yeah. 1-1 to 2-1. So go on to the 2.
I was half asleep when I did that. That's what it was.
Okay, so we go on to 2. A logoi nomo is
words
of the law.
Of a
law. The 3. Lege oxlo.
Ishi it says.
Ishi it says.
Skew the crowd.
To the crowd. He says to the crowd, or she says to the crowd.
He is saying to a crowd.
He is saying to a crowd is fine.
Right, how about words of, is it not the a law? Is
words
it?
Of a law, or words of a law, words of law?
That's right.
Wait a minute. That's okay. All right.
No, it's not really of.
Words of
that's
a law.
All right?
Hey, words of a law.
Yeah.
Sure. That's all
right,
sure.
Yeah, no. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Right.
That article A.
That's right. A law or the law, we won't
talk about that. Indirect, indirect article is A.
Indefinite article.
Indefinite.
Yeah.
Words the definite
you
is
we. You have none, though.
Words of law.
Without the without it, it also means an indefinite, too.
Exercise.
That's true. Words of law, words of A law.
Yeah.
Like A
law. I had a meaning to that. Yeah. Okay. You had to have a...
Are we ready to go on to four?
Okay, we're trying.
I don't know how we can mark this, because he's got a combination of both exercises. All right,
Larry, why don't you shoot that one through,
redo
too.
It.
Redo that one again. So that leaves you behind that. Well, you can take that other paper there and grade it.
My own? Okay.
Well, no, we'll make you switch with...
we'll get a little bit
of that.
Well, give me...
Wait a minute. I don't have a paper.
Give him his paper.
Are you marking
no,
that?
No,
you guys
no,
are...
No, no, no. Give him his paper.
You take
paper.
That.
Well, that's his own paper.
You take that.
No, but he was marking.
And let me see.
All right,
let me see if I can decipher my own, please.
Oh, this other one here?
I'm sorry.
This one here?
Yeah. See what I do. I don't know where.
All right. Let's move right along if we can.
Yeah,
now,
I don't even know where we are, though.
Number four. Which number four? We are taking bread. That seems illegal.
We are taking bread. We are taking bread, or we are receiving bread. Aklos, akue, logoi, nomu is what? Logon nomu. What's five?
Okay. Crowd.
A crowd. Akue.
Is hearing the word.
The word
of the law.
The word of a law.
A word of a law or the word of the law. Either one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ready to be from a law?
From a law if you want. Word of law or of a law. Any questions?
There's really no definite rules on whether it's going to be the...
Over from. No, it's context. Yeah. You have to get the context. Any other questions on that? All right, let's go to two. In a place is what?
Topo.
Right. Topo. Of a world?
Cosmo.
Right. Number two. For a friend?
That would be...
Philo.
With an iota subscript. And laws of thrones?
Throne.
He takes a stone.
He takes a stone.
Lithon. Direct accuser, right?
Lithon.
It's Lithon.
He takes a stone. Direct accuser.
Lithos?
No.
Lithon.
See, it has to be accusative, see? It has to be the direct object.
Now, how are we handling this?
Accusative
is
direct
just
object.
One, what is that? One
object? One word. Each word is 1 point. So.
1 point.
Yeah.
All right, if he takes a stone. Okay.
So it has to be a log on.
Stone is the direct object.
Accusative. Okay. Direct object.
I was going crazy trying to figure that out with my wife. Okay.
All right, we have bread for a world.
We have is.
Echomen. We have Echomen. Arton.
Arton.
Yeah, Omicron. Arton. For a world.
Cosmo.
With Omicron, with the Omega.
Yoda subject.
All right, got that?
Okay, you did that again. You have a problem with your direct object.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Five.
Oh, you do the same thing?
Well, this is difficult.
Yeah.
We're not used to foreign
right.
languages like this.
Yeah.
They're highly inflected.
You think you got a nail when
that's
you
right.
get the subject. But
right. You speak words to crowds.
Okay. Ye is could be
legate.
Words would be log... goose.
Logus. Direct
goose.
Accusative, see?
Right.
Logus. Two crowds.
Lacos.
Lacos.
Aklos.
All right, that's it. Legate.
Legate.
Logus.
You got
Aklos.
That one?
All right, any questions
start
on that?
Start shaping out there. The way.
All right, there are 40 points on that, but let's go on. Let's very hurriedly take the next one. Let's really push it on. We got 30 seconds. I don't think we'll make it.
We won't make it.
Tohuyo Tuthau is what? Page 34, paragraph 45. Am I wrong? I'm wrong. It's paragraph 37. By To Didaskalo.
That means to the teacher.
To the teacher for the teacher, right? Anthropon is what?
Which person to both?
Anthropon.
That would be
man.
A man. Of men?
No.
Or by from men? Anthropon.
Anthropon. It would be
from men or of
men. From men.
From men or of men. That's right. From men or of men. Got that?
Okay. Did you left that out.
Which one?
The anthropo.
What do you mean that?
Anthropo?
No, I'm not doing that. This is the second. He doesn't have one anyway.
That's why it didn't make sense.
gentlemen, what do you say we hold this right here and pick these up next time?
Okay.
I think we can do it. There's no problem with that. This is a simple situation. Why don't you retain your both exercises? You may want to change it. You may want to add to it. I'll give you the privilege to do so, and we'll... Of course, you've got already one of them is marked, you know, but the rest, the other one is on the back of it, so you've got to have both, right? Why don't you, let's keep those. Go back to your original owners, and then we'll finish correcting these. Don't lose them next time. We'll finish correcting them next time. I think that's the best way, because this would take a little time. It'd probably be dragging on maybe 15 minutes. I don't know. Because we are kind of, it's a little bit rusty.
Got it right in this.
Hmm? A little bit rusty. This is a little bit harder. Some, you know, you're mixed up, confused, some of you are. So, you know, so I think I'd rather not go over her. I'd rather really take my time on it and be sure you understand this.
Which one did you say I left out, Manny? Did I leave one out?
Anthropon.
One, two.
Yeah. On which? On the going from Greek to English, the second or third word, you should have to the teacher and then of or from men, and then it's apostles. And you could have the teachers, but you don't have the men.
If I pass these last weeks back with that confusion, mm-hmm. Mr. President, yeah. I pass those. What is this now? This is for last week?
Yes.
Okay.
See what I did. I did this half asleep, I think. But what I did was I went to 37. I thought that was the only one. I skipped 29. So we were looking at 37 and trying to figure out.
These are the some of the pitfalls you might work into if you're doing it on your own. But if we had the prowess of Manny, we'd be able to be all right.
Oh, if we had the prowess of Manny, we wouldn't have to...
But anyway, it does help sometimes to compare notes. All right, why don't we please close the word of prayer as we close our class tonight as Lord of Legion.
One more thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Phil, how did what was they doing on this? Did it blow a lot on this?
You did the same things I did wrong with the direct objects.
Could I take another crack at this?
Well, if you want to, then I'd have to open it up to all of you to take another crack, which I would be able to willing to do if you want all to take another crack. Yeah? Go ahead. Okay.
So we do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, we want to please close in word of prayer. Go over the Legion. We'll close our class tonight.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word in the original language. To study the original language. Father, I thank you that you've given us each here your grace that we can understand your word and be saved. Father, I pray that you help us to be diligent in this study, help us to profit from it. And Lord, I pray that you give each one here travelers' mercies as they go home, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Okay, keep up the good work.